everyone, and welcome to the Praise Aero podcast. With me today, I have Angel Oti. Angel Oti is a pharmacist. She also happens to be a creative and technical writer. In her free time, Angel also pursues web development and cloud engineering, and she is very much interested in volunteering. Hi, Angel. How are you doing?
Hi, Praise. I'm fine. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. So today with Angel, we're talking on the topic, the curse of the multi-talented. And yeah, that's a pretty dramatic topic, but you don't have to worry. It's not as dramatic as it sounds, really. So Angel, I just want you to tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this topic before we start to flesh it out. I thought you'd be a great person to talk about this with, considering the fact that you have many interests and many skills, and you also have probably struggled with a lot of the things that we'll be talking about today. So in your opinion, what's it like being multi-talented? Who's a multi-talented person? And what were your thoughts on this topic when I brought it up? Why did you decide, you would want to talk about this?
Okay, so first off, I love this topic from the moment I saw it. The dramatic flair just, dragged my attention, and I absolutely love how it was crafted. I think a multi-talented person is someone who has many talents, like the word, yes? So it means somebody who has many interests, and many times these interests do not align. So it's different maybe if you're a singer who likes to dance, who likes to talk. It's those things are kind of streamlined into one path. But many times the cursed people, in quotes, are the people who have very diverging passions. So it's from point A, you're going to point Z, to M. Different things that do not link, but definitely link up with your soul, because they're a part of your core. So that's who the multi-talented person. An example of a multi-talented person would be probably an actor who is a doctor and who, and who probably plays sports somehow. Used to be a very good sports person. These are things that don't exactly align. But this person can probably do these things very well, and that means this person is talented at those things.
One thing I also realized that is that there are a lot of other terms. Well, not a lot. There are a couple of other terms for being multi-talented. So there's multi-potentiality and there's multi-creativity. So a multi-creative is a person who pursues more than one creative interest. And, multi-potentiality is actually a psychological term. There are a lot of psychological terms for practically everything out there.
Definitely.
So it's like when a person has a strong intellectual or artistic curiosity and or the ability to excel in two or more different fields. And so a multi-potentialite is, respectively, a person whose interest spans across multiple fields or areas. And that's, technically, it looks like, a person whose interest spans across multiple fields. Well, that's a lot of people, more people than you would actually think. And before we get into how many people actually go through this, tell me a little bit about your experience with being multi-talented, because I think you are, or at least, you're multi-creative. So what's that been like?
Okay, so I actually started from the other end of the spectrum. Would I say zero talent? Or so I used to think. I found it so hard. I'd have people, talk about, I love to sing, I love to dance, I love to do this, and I'm like, Angel, what do you love to do? And I don't have an answer. Yeah, I went through most of my undergraduate days trying to figure these things out. And I went from, I don't have options, to suddenly realizing that I actually have a lot of options. And I think it was not the smoothest journey. It was a very, very tumultuous journey, like highs, lows. And but here I am now, and I realized that there's so much in me, there's so much that I can offer. And I'm very sure that in a couple of years, I'll add more things to things I do right now. There's still a lot of things that I'm interested in, But yeah, that's me. It's a curse, it's a blessing. So, and I'm enjoying both sides of it.
Okay, great. So let's tackle that one after the other. So I'll start off by talking about myself and what that's been like for me. You know, in the beginning, I talked about the different things you're interested in. Over time, you know, I'm a chemical engineer by profession, and then
a really good one.
By course of study, I'm a chemical engineer, and I also happen to be a singer, a songwriter. I'm interested in musical instruments as well. I like to write. I like to talk, you know, publicly, which is why I'm doing this podcast. And the challenge is that over time, I just find myself getting interested in a lot of things and being good at things. You know, when you start off, you pick things up easily. There are a lot of other things there, but, you know, these are the ones that are on the surface that I think are the easiest to talk about right now.
Yeah.
And the problem is that it feels as though you're good at different things, but you're not really a master of anything.
Yeah.
So when you meet with someone, what do you do? You're like, I do this, I do that, I do this as well. And they're like, oh, wow, cool, that's so many things. But I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm not really making impact in any single area. And then when it comes to making a decision about what to focus on, it's a struggle because I'm interested in so many things and I feel each one is really important to me. So did you experience something similar, and how did you manage it, or how are you managing it?
Oh, I definitely did. I your struggle resonates with me because it's this thing where the world wants you to be known for one thing. We know Jeff Bezos for Amazon, we know Mark for Facebook and Meta now. We know Bill Gates for Microsoft. We know people for single things. Mona Teresa's name is called because of her humanitarian work. And so that's how the world has been. For you to be great, you have to be known as a great person in a particular field. And I think that's something that, you know, we would always struggle with for people who are multi-talented. There's a saying, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. But that's the popular line. But then there's the ending that says, but still better than a master of none. Like, so it's a good thing. However, I think that it can be limiting sometimes.
By the end, I think you meant, but still better than a master of one.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Thank you so much. Yes. So I think that it's a limiting factor. While it allows for an interesting life, definitely. I think it's boring having to do one thing over and over and over. I don't know if I'm the only one who thinks like that, but I'd like to maybe do the same thing but in different ways. And so I'd like a career that allows me to be expressive and roam a bit. But I think that it limits us from truly focusing on one thing and mastering it. It's possible with a lot of hard work and determination and focus. But in our world today where, you know, focus is kind of hard to get, it can be really hard to become great at so many things. So I think that's something that's a common factor for so many people who have like multiple interests. It's like having a business and having so many side businesses alongside. It will be really hard to get any of them to grow because you're spreading your time across all of these things. And so I think...
Okay, so...
I think that's something I face, So I understand how you feel about that, please.
So, you know, I was thinking of a concept called the myth of balance. And I don't know about you, but I've heard a lot of motivational speakers, especially growing up, you know, talk about how you need to balance every single area of your life. This part must be excellent, that part must be excellent. You know, you should be able to do a lot of things and, you know, balance each one perfectly. What's your thought on that? For me, I think part of it, at least in Nigeria, is a sort of cultural thing, that belief that you must be able to do so many things and do them excellently well. It still happens in other places, but...
not as much as our climb, yeah.
Well, I've not been exposed to every single culture out there, but it just appears that I see a lot of Nigerians being driven to know a lot of things. Know how to do a lot of things.
Yes. So first off, Nigerians are really hardworking people. If you must know anything about Nigerians, we are hardworking, and it's sometimes that because we want to be, was because we have to be. It's a necessity situation. So many people are doing a lot of things because having just one job, having just one source of income would not be enough. Our economy is not the best. It's one of the worst right now. And so people actually do need to diversify. If you speak to a lot of people right now, they would really be happy probably doing one thing and doing the other thing for fun, but they don't have that luxury. And I think that's the reason why a lot of Nigerians actually have that. But I think balance is a myth. And I think it's a myth that we've been sold for far too long.
Thanks a lot, Angel, for that. So I get what you mean about the myth of balance. You also think it's a myth, which is interesting. I think it's a myth, but there are people who can manage it. You know, there are always going to be exceptions, but that doesn't make it the rule.
Precisely.
An interesting fact that I wanted us to talk about is how many things can a person actually do really well? Or maybe before that, let's talk a little bit about something you said. You said that in Nigeria, for example, you know, although this case extends well beyond Nigeria, but let's just take it as a case sample. You said there are a lot of people in Nigeria and let's say the world that have to do a lot of things because they do not have a choice. But now we're talking about people who have different skills, and let's assume that you could choose, you know, you had a choice sort of on what to do. How do you decide what should be your source of income and what should be your passion? For example, okay, let me put that more clearly.
Uh-huh.
You have a lot of things that you can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the tendency to want to do everything at the same time. Now, I'm of the opinion that you can't monetize everything. And because I think this is one challenge. When you start doing something and you're really good at it, you have people come up to you like, you should be a professional writer. I think you should be a professional singer. I think you should start doing this. You can make some money like this. You can make some money like that. And you're under this pressure to take every single thing you know how to do and turn it into a source of income. And how do you make that decision? Have you had to make any decision like that? Because I'm personally at that point where I have to make that decision about a lot of things. Because in my opinion, it's like I've been confusing some things that should just be, you know, a hobby for a source of income. Yeah, so just tell me your thoughts.
I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. There is already the pressure of thriving in the world as a young person or as a human being, and you're trying to, you know, make a living, be there for your family, have good relationships, and, you know, have a good job. And you add the additional pressure of trying to monetize things that you should enjoy. We're not created to work all the time. We're not created to just, you know, do things simply because they bring us money. We should be allowed. I don't know if we should advocate for that to become a right to relaxation. There are things that you'd want to do that, you know, you just do that because that's what helps you get out of the funk of your job. For example, somebody who writes and doesn't want to take it up as a career, just because they enjoy how, you know, they distress when they write, and then somebody comes to tell them to turn their distressing mechanism into something that's going to cause them even more stress. I think that's very problematic, and I don't advise it. I advise, you know, leave some things off just to them for fun, especially if you can afford to. If you can afford to have a hobby, because some hobbies are actually expensive, or if you can afford to have a hobby, then by all means do, because you need to take a break sometimes, maybe from the real world, quote unquote, but if you monetize every single thing, you don't have that break. You don't have that option to de-stress. And
yeah, that's very interesting. You don't have any channel to...
Yes.
Like, you don't have any channel or means to relax by. And so now everything is just work. That's a very interesting point.
Yeah, I don't think we should probably look... Maybe there should be a scientific work done on, you know, the correlation between having too many sources of incomes and the hike in mental health issues we have nowadays. There are a lot of mental health issues now, much more pronounced than before. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it's because many people now are doing many things at once and trying to juggle all of that. It can be pretty tolling for your mental health. And yeah, so you need to relax.
Okay. And, you know, when you talk about people doing a lot of things, these days it's getting easier to have different sources of passive income. But, you know, right now let's leave the things that are passive. We're talking about things that are active that require you to, you know, use your talent in each area. And so the thing about being multi-talented is the assumption that you can do everything excellently well. I mean, the assumption on your end, you know, you said something that people come up to you and tell you to monetize this. Now you have to keep in mind that those people are good-willed. You know, they have the best intentions. They see the talent and they feel that you can use this to your advantage. Now it's up to you to know where the line needs to be drawn. And because of that, I think it's vital that we talk about this, which is what I mentioned before. How many things can you actually do really well? Like, well, you might be able to do a lot of things really well. How many things should you invest time in doing really well? Because, you know, let's take writing, for example.
Uh-huh.
Now, the average multi-talented person, you know, you start writing something, someone's like, this is cool, this is good. Like, you know, I've read a lot of people's works and this is really nice. You can actually build a career in this. And then... Yeah. You know, maybe you're acting and someone's like, you should really audition for bigger roles because I think you can go all the way. Do you know that the average person who gets to the top of their field is like, you know, they're in the top 1.1%, 0.5%. For example, let's say about 1 million books get published each year. And if you include the self-published authors, that's like 4 million. There are about 3 to 4 million books.
Yeah.
And... only 0.5% of those books are going to make bestseller.
Yes.
But the thing is, the average multi-talented person feels like, I need to be great in all these fields. So it's not like you just want to...
Yeah.
If it was that you were okay with doing everything just a little well, like, yeah, I'm an okay writer. And yeah, I'm an okay singer. And yeah, you know, I just do it once in a while. And yeah, I'm just an okay actor or actress, and it would be easier on you. But I don't know if you felt this before, but I've been a lot of people and I feel that very often. I feel like I should be the best at each of those things that I do.
Yes.
And that pressure is really killing. But it's like it's not a realistic aim, because you can't be the best at
everything.
At like five things at the same time. Because one person, let's take the top violinist, for example. That person is like, you know, really top 0.5%. And the chances of you getting into the top 0.5% in three things is like 0.5 times, you know, what?
Divided times
0.5% times 0.5% times 0.5%, which is like, you
times
know,
0.5%.
That's a very small
0.
Number. You know, like maybe like six, five
like
zeros.
Nine places.
Five zeros after the decimal.
12 places.
That sort of thing.
Yes.
I think we should stop trying to do math now.
Oh my God. My lecturer said this will be so disappointed in me. But
you know, we should have just used like 1%, and that would be easier. Use the 1% and you get an easy number. But my point is, I don't think it's a very realistic aim
possible
and,
thing
but not... I want to know how you as a person feel about that when you're striving in each of these different fields.
I think just about last week I saw a tweet and someone said that if you want to go into a field that you're not passionate about, remember that you'll be competing against people in that industry who are very passionate about that industry. And that has stayed with me. Like, I have, you know, sometimes I just pause and think about it, like, this is very true. Let's use athletes, because I think everybody's going to kind of understand what athletes go through. To be a good athlete, you need to do a lot of things. You need to watch your diet, exercise every day, train every day. To be a great athlete, you need to double or triple on these efforts. To be exceptional at, you know, like people like, okay, as these comments, I realize I don't know much about sports, but let me say CR7, Messi, LeBron James. I hope nobody comes for me because I don't know what side of basketball to stay on. But I think that with these people, they put in a lot of their life, a lot of their time into, you know, honing their craft. So Messi is a great footballer, but he cannot be a great footballer and be a great violinist. Nah, he could maybe have a child who plays violin and, you know, just learns just to encourage each other, something that they can do for fun together. But he's never going to have the time that he's dedicating to football now to dedicate to violin. Maybe after he has retired from, you know, from football, he can then delve into something else. And I think that's just the reality of things. That's why I said earlier that balance is in me. You cannot juggle every single thing. It's in the multitasking. Multitasking is, you know, trying to say, oh, I'm listening to this and I'm working on this and I'm doing this. I know some people, I have friends who watch stuff while they are working on maybe something like an article. I can't, because I find it like I'm trying to know what's going on in the movie, what's going on in the article. Like, so it's the same thing with, you know, trying to balance many things in your life. The good thing about having these things as hobbies is that, you know, you need a break from what is your main life work. But when you move, you know, when you need a break, you go there, you just spend like an hour or two, and then you know that, okay, you have to go back to what takes your main priority. And I think that's something that multi-talented people need to learn. Priority. You know, when you started this podcast, you talked about the psychological term and said multi-potentialites, if I'm not wrong.
Multi-potentiality is the term for, you know, the ability, and then the person is called a multi-potentialite.
So it's potential energy is energy that's not active. It means that, you know, when someone says, oh, you have the potential for this, it means we've not seen you do this yet, but we think that you can do this. And I think that, you know, simply because you have potential for a lot of things doesn't mean that you can properly execute all of these things at once.
Doesn't even mean that you should
properly
execute all these things.
And I think the problem these days is that there is, we put on a show most times, and we're encumbered by results and number of results we have, and we are sometimes beginning to focus less on quality. So it's like I have this and this and this and this and this out, but like, so you want to use it to brag and say, I've done this, I've done that, I can do this, I can do that. But like, when we try to go through the quality of work, we can't exactly find something that stands out, and that's where the problem is. It's even better to have one thing that can, you know, pass through the fire and still come out unscathed, and than to have everything burn to ashes when, you know, we try to pass it through the rigors of seeing if this is actually excellent. We need to learn, we need to discover for ourselves what really deserves my time, what should I prioritize now, what goes on my opportunity cost list, and what is actually the thing I'm going to focus on.
Yeah.
Bear in mind that these things can change. In the next 2 years or the next 5 years, you could, you know, quote unquote, conquer a field and decide, okay, there's this other thing that I'm interested in and I want to move there. it's even better that way, you know. It's especially if you're someone who's restless and cannot focus on something for too long. Go in a space, conquer something, probably still devote a little time to some of the things on the side, but so that when you want to switch, it's easier to make a switch rather than trying to cram everything on your plate. I don't know, have you seen people who go to buffets and they try to take a little of everything on their plate?
Yeah,
I look at these people weird. You know, and I don't know, I'm like, how does your stomach not get upset by eating every single thing? But in reality, that's how some of us are when we try to put a lot of things on our plate. Yeah.
Wow, that's really, really insightful. I think you said a lot of the things that were on my mind, and I like the part where you said you can actually focus on something for a while and conquer that field and decide, okay, I think I've reached a reasonable level of accomplishment in this area and I can pursue some other areas of interest as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, backtracking to something you said earlier about realizing what's your priority, you know, a good way to do that is to think, okay, you know, let's say 5 years from now, 10 years from now, what is that thing that I want to be excellent at and that I think also contributes to where I'm going the most?
Yes.
Right? And clearly defining what is that part of your life through which you want to have a source of income, which you want to be a source of income, through which you want to be known. You know, just that, defining that clearly can make a huge difference. And then, you know, these other things are hobbies for now.
Like, yes.
And I might come back to them and pick them up very, very seriously.
Yes.
But I'm not going to put that pressure on myself to do this just as well as I'm doing that. You know why I'm saying that? Because even for me, it's been quite a challenge. There are different areas, and I'm not going to, you know, specify which one I'm thinking of making a hobby right now. But there are different areas, and I was just putting a lot of pressure on myself to do everything with the same amount of focus and energy, which is really difficult. So you end up doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you're not making headway, so much headway in any of these areas because you're trying to hold on to all of them at the same time. And, you know, it's really challenging. But when you know that this is the main focus, and in 5 years, this is what I want to be known for, this is where I want to be in this area, and these ones can, you know, just be there as a source of expressing myself, just this area that feeds into my creativity, you know, a source of expression, relaxation. And sometime in the future, I can pick this up really and, you know, just run with it. There are a lot of talented people or creatives, for example, who start in one field. And later you see them get into this other field. I think the one that's coming to my head right now is there are some wrestlers that became actors later, right?
Yes.
There's John Cena, for example, who moved into acting. And it's like, you know, if he had started trying to balance both at the same time with the same energy, that would be a real problem. Huh. But, you know, after he established his presence in wrestling, then it's like, okay, you can translate these skills into the acting world as well. And, you know, he just made that move. And he's not the only one. There's a number of them as well.
Yeah, and I think Rihanna comes to mind. If you're hearing this and you have an ill in Rihanna, please tell her that we want her to come back. And we've missed her. We want her to sing. Well, yes, Rihanna left the singing industry quite abruptly and focused on her business. And now Fenty Beauty is one of the leading beauty products, doing really well. So it's definitely possible.
And that's a very interesting example because if anyone faced pressure to, you know, do something, I guess based on this example, it would probably be her. Because there, till now, I think there are a lot of people putting pressure on her to release
a new
album. But the thing is that you have to know where you as a person want to be and why. Because if you give in to the pressure of what people think, there are a lot of people who think a lot of things about me and who I should be, what I should be doing with my talents. But at the end of the day, you're accountable for the choices that you made and not for the pressure that people put on you, no matter how great that pressure is. So I think that's a good example. Yeah. So I was wondering if you have any, it feels like I've been the one asking questions, which is, you know, the way this mostly goes. But yes, if you have any question for me, that'll be cool as well.
Okay. I think maybe I should ask this, you know, being a scientist is a very serious space. It's a very, you know, button up to the neck kind of space, and then you are singing and you sing really well. You guys should check out Prison's songs, check out her YouTube channel, she does really amazing. You sing really well, and that's a lively ass space. Like, so how do you, you know, juxtapose the two of them? How do you mix it, if so to speak? So this is speaking for people who have like very diverging interests. So how can they manage having both?
Yeah, so I think up till now, I haven't really pursued full-time music.
Okay.
So, I mean, the fact that I sing really well and that I have a couple of songs out there, you know, that's not exactly an overnight thing.
Yeah.
The content that I have out there has spanned over, I think, 4 years now.
Okay.
So if you compare that to the work of a full-time artist, that's it's technically insignificant. You know, if you compare the content that a full-time artist releases. So I'm in no way a full-time artist, and there are times where I've gone completely off-grid in music because
life is tricking you.
Yeah, because I have to focus on what's my main my main profession at the time, and it's been challenging sometimes for the reasons that I've given in this podcast. You know, it's like you feel you should be great in every area. And sometimes I have this issue with trying to balance my focus. You know, we talked about the myth of balance.
Yeah.
If I start working on the music project, I don't want to hear about anything else until that is complete.
Done. Yeah.
If I'm the one working on it, let's say I'm producing the sound or something like that, for things that are produced by someone else, yeah, that's fine. But maybe if I'm working on the cover or something like that at home, I just want to finish that and then get back to normal life. But the thing is, other things are not just going to wait till you're done. So it's a bit challenging. And I would say that I'm at the point where I'm going to have to define what counts as work.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, what counts as a hobby that I can keep building slowly over time. And you know, eventually focus full time on. So I'm still not fully resolute on any option right now, but I'll tell you definitely there are other things, like there's a podcast, there's a blog, there are other things I wanted to pick up, but thank God for good friends who knocked some sense into me and, you know, just told me you're gonna kill yourself. So.
Yeah, that's precisely.
So I'm like, there's language learning as well. I'm trying to learn two languages, and that's been a bit challenging. So
I haven't seen that because we're Duolingo friends, so I haven't seen that.
Well, there's Chinese. Chinese is the one I'm learning most actively. The other one I'm learning it with a textbook.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'd like to know how that works, Nitaron.
Okay, sure. So, but the thing is that at every point in time, you have to choose what is your priority. Why do you want to do this? And put aside the pressure that you feel from people, because I faced a lot of that when people are like, yeah, you need to put all your heart into this and, you know, strive to be the best. And you have to answer why, because you're going to be in a competitive field, just like you mentioned, with people who are very passionate about what they do and give this their full attention, their undivided attention.
Yeah.
And if you are not already sure about the level of attention you want to give to this, you're going to feel pressured and you're going to feel bad about the fact that you can't give this your full attention at that moment, right?
Yeah. I think...
So that's my take on that.
Yeah. I think I got from something you said, I'd want to maybe emphasize more on it. You know, there is work, there has to be work, and there has to be passion. In my opinion, passion gives you, you know, more reason, fuels you to work better. And when you work a lot, you know, you need to rely on your passion to get back up. But I think that you need to work first. For multi-talented people out there, you need to focus on, okay, what is the thing that is going to bring me money? Because here's the thing, a lot of times, passion does not pay. When it does, it takes a really, really long time. And the people in your life would probably get tired of waiting. Not everybody's going to believe in you till, you know, the very end. So you need to realize, okay, I need to work. I need to get money. Even if this is something I'm passionate about, this is something that I want to do. For example, maybe you're like Chris and you sing. It costs a lot to produce songs. It's really expensive. So if you don't have, if you're not a trust fund baby, or you don't have like a rich family relative or something, it's something that you have to sponsor yourself, and you would need to work to get the money to do that. So I think work is something that we do to sponsor our passion. So work is kind of like the vehicle that will allow your passion run to a point where it can probably start bringing in money. There are people who speak today, but they did not start as speakers. They started as, you know, something else that was, that's, but, you know, maybe they started a podcast, or they used to do speaking gigs with friends, and that was how, you know, their passion now has turned into work for them. And you also have to, this is from what Pri said earlier, you need to know what you want to be known for. You need to know your life goal. Not this is not like just a 10-year plan or a 5-year plan. You need to say, okay, when I'm gone or when I'm going out of this world, what do I want to be known for? It's sometimes just like a singular brand identity that can, you know, spread out into different expressions. So I think I would advise going for the one that's, I'm going for the passions that most align with your life goal as something that you focus more on. So if you want to be known for something like Mother Teresa, then maybe focus on volunteering and take it up as something that's a very crucial, important part of you. So when people hear you, they know, okay, yes, if you want to be known as somebody who revolutionized the mobile world, then, you know, you need to focus, you need to focus on honing your skills in that area. It doesn't mean that you cannot switch, like we've said earlier, but things you choose have to kind of align with your brand, if I'm going to say it like that.
All right. Thanks a lot, Angel. I think there's a lot more that can be said on this topic. Honestly, we've barely scratched the surface. Now that I think about it, I should probably mention one thing. You know, why this was titled The Curse of the Multi-Talented. It's sad that I kind of, you know, I'm just mentioning this at the end. But so the reason why I came up with that topic is because a lot of multi-talented people, when growing up, you know, people are like, this person can do so many things, you're going to be great. And you feel that pressure because you've been told by a lot of people that you're amazing, yes, and that, you know, you have the potential to be great and do a lot of things.
Yes.
And then that same person ends up never really being great, or even, you know, just doesn't make any real headway. And then people who were not talented in the traditional sense, but you know, picked up a skill and focused on it and became really good at it and just kept doing that, they make more headway in life than these so-called multi-talented people. And that's what I call the curse of the multi-talented. That, yes, there are so many who just, and they feel bitter. At the end of the day, you're bitter because you grew up being told that you have the potential to be great, and you feel that you would be, and then you think life sort of owed you that. And then, you know, when you don't achieve that, it's kind of sad. So I would just encourage everyone out there to pick up these tips and just know that, you know, talent is overrated. You really need a great amount of focus, hard work, and persistence in your field to achieve anything significant in life. And I wish you the best. Angel, you want to say a goodbye to to those listening?
I think I'm just going to end with saying sometimes you probably could listen to those, you know, well-meaning people in your life. I didn't know that I had it in me to be a writer. There's sometimes that you'd have certain things that come naturally to you. And I struggled with it for the longest until I saw that I could do it. So yes, you need to listen to people in your life, but ultimately you need to make the decision for yourself. Nobody, like Pri said, is going to live with the choices you make except you. So here's something. Focus is much more important than talent. Skill is much more important than talent. Focus on honing your skills. Focus on being the best. Do something that would make you the best in that field so that you can conquer that field. And when there's nothing left to conquer, then you can roll. Thank you so much, Breeze. It was really an awesome time chatting to you.
This was nice too. Thank you so much, Angel. And to everyone listening, thank you for listening. Till next time, stay happy, stay beautiful, and stay healthy. Bye.
Bye.